All right, good morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes, and welcome this morning to a brand new program we're calling Radio Caravan. Let me introduce my co-host, a guy that I met probably less than 60 days ago, a guy named Robert Palmer. Robert, good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So, Robert, I wonder if you could define for us what you think this program is going to be about. How do you go about defining what we're going to do for the next hour?
Well, it's a caravan. It's a journey. It's on the radio. We're going to take the people, hopefully around the world, around Laguna Beach, around the country, happening events, beautiful music, some history, some education, some politics, some local flair, and hopefully learn a little bit, have a little fun on the way.
That sounds great, man. That sounds great. I think probably for the listeners, we might want to know a little bit about your background, if that's okay. And I think one of the things that's most interesting for me, and perhaps for listeners, I don't know, is the idea that you were once in a rock band.
That I was, in a number of rock bands. I had a number of very successful careers as a ski bum and failed badly at that. And a professional photographer, failed badly at that. And then played music throughout high school and college, and went on after that to tour the U.S. and Canada for 3 years, recorded an album the week before Prince did, the week after, rather, and the week before Yanni.
Wow.
And they were all friends of ours, and we were based in Minneapolis.
Well, that's incredible. So you were based in Minneapolis. What instrument did you play, by the way?
Keyboards, lots of keyboards.
Okay, and what sort of band were you?
We were kind of band, rock band, played all the local bars and clubs. We were the $4 cover band, if you remember those guys, hated them.
Sure.
About a third original, third top 40. And a third, music designed for musicians.
Yeah.
So that's pretty hard to play.
And did you, I think I read somewhere, you maybe shared this with me, you shared the stage with certain bands. Do you remember who those were?
Yeah, we toured a lot with the Guess Who for a month or so.
Wow.
We opened for Alice Cooper.
Wow.
Black Oak, Arkansas, outside for a concert, about 50,000 people, Heady, some other bands.
Really?
Lots of fun.
So let me imagine this. You're on the keyboards.
That I am.
On stage in front of 50,000 people. And you're on stage for, I guess, what, half hour, 45 minutes?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The best part of that story is I wasn't actually behind my keyboards.
Oh.
The producer gave the signal to go, and I was over talking to the road crew when I heard four clicks on the drums. And I was an opening part of Songs by Styx, so I've never ran so fast in my life to get to my Moog.
That's hilarious.
It was a great way to start a show.
Yeah. And what was it like to perform in front of 50,000 people? Because I always imagined what it would be like to be a rock star in front of 50,000 people.
It's a trip. It's just a sea of people. Keep in mind, they're not there to see you.
Right.
but after enough beer, they're happy to hear anybody. It's quite a rush. It's an awful lot of fun.
How old were you at the time when that was going on?
20-something.
And how many years did you do it for?
We were on the road for 3 years, 50 weeks a year.
Wow. And you recorded an LP?
We did.
Now, the name of your band, I got the cover of this LP here, Keystone. Do I have that correct?
You do.
And how did you come up with the Keystone, by the way?
It was the only name no one objected to.
Oh, okay.
Later became known as a bad beer, and it once was a great ski area, but other than that, it has no implications.
And I think we've got a turntable in this room, believe it or not. Megan's been working diligently this morning to try to get it to work over the airwaves, so we're hoping this works. Let me see if I got this right, Robert. We're going to play a song that you wrote called Take Me Back.
That it would be, and this was a lost copy found on eBay. Some guy found this in his garage and contacted us on Facebook and said, I've got a couple of your old albums. Do you want one? So here it is from some old dusty garage somewhere in the Midwest.
Take Me Back, Keystone, written by Robert Palmer, co-host of the new radio show, Radio Caravan. Megan.
Lord, I need a change. Scotch red nose, show the way to a brighter day. Over the hill and far away is the world where we can stay together, you and I. Oh, together, if we try, if we try.
Listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, here this morning with Robert Palmer, new radio show, Radio Caravan. That was a song titled Take Me Back, written by none other than Robert Palmer.
Thank you very much.
What was the significance of that song for you?
I was sitting in Bozeman, Montana, wondering what the hell I was doing there wanting to get home. So that was a lonely get me out here, get me home song.
Wow, very cool. And you were saying at the break there over the music that your influences may have been REO Speedwagon, Kansas, Journey.
Styx, Toto, all those kind of bands there. Yeah. Yes, Return to Forever, all kinds of funky stuff.
Great. I got to believe you have a pretty good mind for music and musicians and bands over the years. So one of the things we're going to bring into the studio between 8 and 9 o'clock are sort of legends of rock and roll, or however we want to describe it, yeah?
Yeah, we thought we'd start off with The Who, one of the most legendary bands of all time. That'll be our featured day on Legends of Rock.
Yeah, that sounds great. One last question. You have a studio at home?
I do. I have a 32-track automated studio.
Yeah, and in that studio, I hope I'm not bringing up something you don't want to talk about, but here we go. There's a picture of Jerry Garcia in there, and you made a comment that you don't like this guy for some reason.
He's my musical antichrist, yeah.
But, I mean, why is that? I'm curious.
Jerry Garcia, as you know, is a former great leader of the Grateful Dead.
Yeah,
and stoners worship him throughout the land.
Right.
And he was widely regarded by all those stoners as the greatest guitar player in history.
Yeah.
He is not. To most people that play, they know that. He's just kind of a mock rock legend to me.
And that's why you're not a big fan of his.
My son-in-law loves him, so I hear the room is filled with Jerry Garcia trivia.
But if you're a stoner, he's the best.
That's what I hear.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen, also in the studio this morning, we have the incomparable Megan Jamerson.
Good morning.
Megan is, of course, the engineer, co-host, associate producer for the Friendship Show that comes on after this show, 9 to 10. And she's going to be taking on those same sort of chores here this morning. Yeah,
yes,
and she's
correct.
Almost awake, I think. Almost awake.
The coffee has kicked in. I'm ready.
She's also a resident hipster.
Hipster, yeah. And, of course, we have April Johnson sitting in here as back. What do we call April? I mean,
What do we call April? I don't know. You can come up with that.
She's going to be doing a lot for us. So, all right, here we go. One of the things we're going to do, we have various topics to sort of cover, and one of the first things we thought we'd sort of bring to the table between this 8 and 9 o'clock Saturday morning are sort of highlights of police blotters. Megan and Robert have gone out of their way to do extensive research to come to the table with some of the compelling news on Saturday morning, and who would like to start?
I think I'll start off with just a community message first. I know most of you think we live in an ideal, beautiful, safe community here in Laguna Beach. That is not true. There is crime amongst us. There is crime
rampant.
It's unbelievable. The SWAT teams are literally waiting on standby any minute. Let me just give you a sample of what happened on Sunday, January 5th. This is from the police blotter. Petty theft, 900 block, Baja Street. A neighbor admitted to stealing a light bulb and then promised to put it back. Wow. Come on, people. We can't have this kind of behavior.
That's amazing.
Cats and dogs living together. What next?
Well, on Thursday, January 2nd, on the 300 block of Broadway Street, there was a small oven fire.
A small oven fire.
Very dramatic.
Those could be dangerous, though, couldn't they?
Was it put out?
It's
an incomplete blotter entry there.
Yes, we don't know what the outcome of that was.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, guys? I walked into my parents' house the other day. They're in their 80s, and they're suffering from some issues. And I started smelling gas. And
What kind of gas, if I could ask?
And I go, what is that smell? And they go, what smell? I mean, it was just overpowering. And I walked into the kitchen, and sure enough, they had left one of those lighter things on. What other police blotter stuff do we have?
Well, there are many more bad things going on out there. January 3rd, an intoxicated man called the dispatch wondering if his car had been found because he really needed it to get to work in the morning.
I wonder what sort of response he got from the dispatch on that
one. They probably swung by and paid him a visit.
I'm sure they did.
Well, on February 19th of last year, an officer spoke with a man hiding behind a light pole.
Is that true?
Yeah, apparently.
I take it he was unsuccessful in his stealth-like
move. He wasn't
move.
Skinny enough to quite
That's amazing.
Hide from this guy.
Now, they're not sure about this one, but on March 10th, a possibly intoxicated man had pulled his pants down at a gas pump while swearing at people pumping gas.
Wow.
Apparently,
yeah.
They could not confirm the degree of his inebriation at that point in time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to stumble across that myself.
There seems to be a lot of drunk people up to shenanigans because on March 2nd of last year, a man on North 7th Avenue was trying to punch a car, and an officer warned him not to punch cars.
Yeah, that could hurt.
You know,
yeah. Fortunately, the car doesn't punch back.
That's good advice, though. Kids, remember, do not punch your cars. All right. January 19th, a husband who was kicked out of his house called the police to ask if his wife could really do that.
Wait. Back up. Say that again.
A husband who had been kicked out of his house by his wife wanted to know whether or not she could even do that to him.
I wonder what the legal rule is. You're an attorney, right?
I am indeed.
Yeah, but what do you think about that?
Would depend on how big a jerk he's being.
Well, there you go.
The law.
So if he was being a big jerk, he could get kicked out.
Jerkius Maximus is a well-known legal maximum. It's out of the house if you're being a real jerk.
But think about it. I mean, if they're both, you know, technically listed on, you know, the home, can one person kick out the other? I'm curious.
Unless the police came and had them physically ejected for some kind of domestic violence or something of that nature. Generally, you're allowed to stay around.
Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. Megan.
Well, this one's actually a little bit relevant to the news right now.
Uh-oh.
Wednesday, January 8th, a resident discovered a small electric plane with a GoPro camera that landed in his backyard.
You know,
was that an NSA plane?
It might have been.
Did it have a small Obama logo on it anywhere?
Oh, come on.
You know, but that's probably a little expensive device for somebody. That's amazing.
Isn't it illegal? Didn't they just have something?
What?
That you can't, residents can't use drones or drone type sort of camera work.
Not if Amazon has their way. There'll be a drone in every backyard.
Delivering packages.
Exactly.
We have the Sparkle Film crew in here, and Corey has one of those helicopter GoPro things that he uses for camera work. They're very effective, and at night you see this thing that looks like a UFO oftentimes here in Laguna, and I think it's got one of those cameras as well. So,
I don't know.
Is that it on the blotter news this morning?
That's the crime wave for this week.
The crime wave for this week. That's what we should call that, the crime wave for this week. That's a hard one for me to say, though, because of my speech impediment. Hey, one of the other things we're going to do, Megan, is man/woman about town. We thought, Laguna, that you wake up 8 o'clock in the morning, you're listening between 8 and 9. Not only do we give you the crime, but we'll give you some of the happenings around Orange County. And by the way, these are things that are seriously going on.
Mm-hmm.
And people can attend and visit, and they might be interested in attending one of these. Who wants to start here, Megan?
I can take it off.
Sure.
I guess if you're waking up a little groggy this morning and you feel like trying a new coffee spot, there's a new place in Anaheim called Ink and Bean Coffee Saloon and Word Shop. Word Shop? Well, what they're trying to do is encourage people to come and write there as well, so they've got old-fashioned typewriters and different things decorating the place. Sounds cool. I haven't been.
So, like, unless you're a hipster, they're not going to let you in or something? Maybe a beatnik?
I don't know. Maybe.
There's lots of finger clipping after the poetry.
People are excited about it because they serve Stumptown, which is a... Oh, is that scary?
That's scary. Stumptown? What kind of coffee
is that? It's a coffee roasting company out of Portland that's...
Very attractive name they've selected.
Popularity.
Are you a Stump fan?
It's good stuff, yeah.
All right.
Wow, that's interesting. By the way, we should note, speaking of writing at a coffee shop, coming in at 9 o'clock, we have Randy Kraft, who has a new novel out. She'll be on the Friendship Show, so it's just sort of a preview for those who may want to listen up. Robert, what do you got for Man About Town?
Well, we've got a lot of fun things going on this week. If you like comedy... Jay Moore is in town at the Irvine Improv. It's a fabulous location. Jay's very funny. I've seen him many times. He also has a radio show each morning on 570. He's a sportscaster. So I'd recommend Jay to you.
Let me ask you, have you ever gone up and done a comedy show, like a five-minute sort of amateur night thing?
I have not, but probably I should. I hear I'm rather.
Do you think you could do it?
I don't know.
I mean, that would be a challenge, to be honest, to go up and do a five-minute skit and try to be funny in front of a group of people.
Kind of a laugh-off. That would be good.
Okay.
All right, if you want something more serious, though.
Sure.
In town, Johnny Cash, he's back from the dead.
Yeah.
We got Ring of Fire here playing at the Laguna Playhouse. I've heard good things about it. It's a number of his songs, inspired, quite caring, quite loving. Certainly a lot of black clothes, a lot of black guitars, a lot of grumbling and mumbling.
Well, wait. I want to talk a little bit about Johnny Cash. Have you seen that movie with, Joaquin Phoenix?
Walk the Line, great movie.
Great movie, and really great performances on that. I love that line where he first goes into that recording studio and that recording guy says to him, look, nobody wants to hear this gospel stuff anymore. If you were lying out there on the street and you only had one song to be remembered by, what song would you want that to be, right? I thought, wow, that's a very compelling question to ask a musician. And so one of the things I'm going to ask Robert here, and then I'll ask Megan, is there one song in your life that most resonates with you?
Oh, wow.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Really?
That's my favorite song.
Why is that?
It's beautiful. It's hope. It's magic. Everybody grew up watching that movie.
Uh-huh.
It's very inspirational, I think.
That's great.
It's beautifully written.
Wow. That surprises me. Megan?
I'm not good at those kind of questions.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll take you out.
It's a lot of pressure to pick one song.
Yeah. Speaking of Johnny Cash, one more thing. One of my favorite songs of Johnny Cash was written by Kris Kristofferson called Why Me, Lord? I don't know if anyone's heard it. It's a great, great song. Kris Kristofferson, I believe, is a pretty good songwriter, by the way.
Very good songwriter. Lives in Hawaii.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
South Tip.
Wow, you're just full of stuff.
I married one of my roommates from Pepperdine. I visited him up there once. He's got a beautiful place.
Well, very nice, very nice. All right, Megan, what else do we have?
If you're in the mood for some live music, a band that's played here on the station is Well Hung Heart. And they're
Well Hung Heart?
That's right, yes.
Can you explain what that means?
I think it means your heart's situated properly within, the whole chest cavity.
How did you come up with that?
Thank you, doctor. Thank you.
But they're going to be playing.
Let me call Hogan, confirm that.
They're going to be playing at the Detroit Bar tonight.
Hogan has confirmed that is what Well Hung Heart means.
Thanks. That was important to interrupt for that.
You're welcome.
they're playing at the Detroit Bar tonight.
Where's that?
It's in Costa Mesa.
The Detroit Bar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a pretty well-known music spot now.
But sadly.
It's closing. They don't know exactly. They haven't announced. But they're going to be converting it into another hip gastropub, which we don't need more of those.
Right.
But they are opening one of those there. They don't have anything on the calendar after February 8th, so plan on not seeing anything there.
But where in Costa Mesa is it,
I forget what street it's on.
Okay. Interesting. Robert?
Okay, I've got a few more musical entries for your consideration. First of all, one of the greatest bands in history. We were just talking about Styx, featuring Tommy Shaw on lead vocals, formerly Dennis DeYoung, who was thrown out of the band for doing Mr. Roboto and embarrassing them.
Is
beyond
it?
All recognition, yes.
Well,
he's been touring doing Broadway shows lately, actually. But the City National Grove this week in Anaheim, they put on a fabulous show. Their daughter throws guitar picks into the crowd. She's been entertaining.
Wow. I've never had a guitar pick thrown at me.
It's really exciting. It's cool. The amazing Justin Timberlake in his 2020 experience show is coming back to town. It's the remodeled Fabulous Forum, which is getting absolutely rave reviews.
It is.
You know, Madison Square Garden came in, spent $100 million, revitalized it, turn it into a music-only venue. The Eagles are playing there this
weekend.
It's getting absolutely rave reviews. So I'm very anxious to see the Forum. It's been described as one of the most perfect acoustical rock buildings anywhere in the world.
You know, let me back up. I mean, I remember as growing up here in Southern California, going to the Forum, of course, to watch the Lakers play. And then they had music venues as well.
The Lakers used to win there, I believe.
They used to win there. That's true.
They might want to go back there.
Yeah. Did you ever go to the Forum to hear concerts?
I did.
And do you remember one concert in particular at the Forum that kind of stands out for you?
The last one, it was phenomenal. Prince was playing for about 15 nights in a row.
Wow.
And it was just him, and he played for 3 hours straight. And he said, I'll play as long as people come. And we were in the second row, and in the front row was none other than Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
And I got to watch Justin Timberlake hang on the end of the stage in awe and watch Prince for 3 hours. It was a really cool experience.
That is very cool. Yeah. Well, wait a minute, though. The Eagles are playing tonight, right?
Yeah.
And April, are you going to the Eagles? Have you gone? Or
I'm going tonight.
You're going tonight?
I'm going tonight.
And you have good seats?
We have great seats. We have eighth row on the floor, pretty much center.
And you're a huge Eagles fan.
I'm a huge Eagles fan. This will be my fourth Eagles show. So
you'll be able to see Don Henley actually come out in his walker from that distance very clearly.
No, hey. Actually, I think Henley's a great lyricist, by the way, a great songwriter, both he and Glenn Frey.
He's brilliant, but his drumming days are slowly falling behind him. They now prop him in front of kungas, which he taps on with drumsticks. Hey, I'm a big fan, but just be prepared. It's kind of a generic hour with the Eagles. You still got Joe Walsh still to liven it up.
That's true, yeah. You know, it's funny, the review, I think, years and years ago, when somebody from, I think, Rolling Stone magazine reviewed the Eagles on stage, he wrote, this reviewer, that it looked like they were loitering on stage. They don't have a lot of personality up there. They really don't.
No, they do
yeah.
not. But a lot of talent.
But a lot of talent, yeah. Where are we at? What else we got going
we've
on?
We've also Megan. Got the UCI's having their visitors' night at their observatory, so if you're in the mood for a little educational, but beautiful at the same time, their theme for tonight is Comets for Fun and Profit. Whatever.
Wow.
I don't know how you make money off of comets,
yeah,
but
I don't know.
You'll find out tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. at UCI.
Haley's made a fortune off of this. If you're into theater, we also have Beauty and the Beast is back. It's a slightly smaller production, but it too is getting good reviews.
Right, well, where is that?
It's at the Sigerstrom Center
down
at Costa Mesa.
Okay.
And right next door at South Coast Repertory Theater, they're doing their play Trudy and Max, which is a story about love and a little bit of adultery thrown in.
Very nice.
And it's getting very good reviews.
A little bit of adultery thrown in is always a good thing for a play.
I just got married 2 weeks ago, so maybe that's not something I should be saying. Right? I know it.
By the way, how was the trip and the marriage and all that? I mean,
it was fabulous. We had the joy of being married on a cruise ship in the harbor of Bora Bora in Tahiti. We eloped with our kids. Mm-hmm. Had a wonderful wedding presided over by the captain, who's Croatian and a gay cruise director.
Wow. That sounds great.
And I had the wildest bachelor party you've ever seen.
Did you really?
The cruise director and I drank Johnny Walker Blue for 2 hours. So that was it was fabulous. But we had a great time. Thanks.
You were gone for like a week or 2 weeks?
Almost 2 weeks.
Wow, that sounds great, man. Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I highly recommend Tahiti to anyone.
Uh-huh. Do you highly recommend marriage as well, yes?
I do.
Yeah.
It's great. I've tried it many times. Try it often.
What else we got? We got anything else?
This is a little bit out of town of Orange County, but worth the drive. It's the Long Beach Antique Market happening this Sunday. Mm-hmm. You can go as early as 5:30 a.m. with the ambitious folks.
That's when the really good knotty pine gets
exactly
scarfed up by this. You want to be there early.
But it's at Long Beach Veterans Stadium. It's 20 acres, 800 vendors. It's one of the largest,
wow.
or it is the largest antique
madness.
Market. In Southern California. But if you're tired of your IKEA furniture, wanting something a little quirky or interesting.
I never go tired of the IKEA.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want some personality in your side tables?
Maybe a little.
Furniture in a box just has character. What can you say?
Side table, end table, same thing.
I read an article recently in one of the magazines at home. How do you work IKEA into your sort of, into your furniture, you know, and make it look cool? So
it's
how
possible.
Do you do
that?
I don't know. I didn't quite follow it.
All right, I got one last recommendation here. One of my favorite bands in Southern California is a band called Upstart.
Right.
They're a bunch of guys that got together years and years ago back in Michigan, of all places, and started playing. And it played rooms everywhere in L.A. from Roxy, the Key Club, the Viper Room. And they bless us with their presence at Mozambique about once every other month. These guys are true rock stars. They're rhythm and blues. Lead singer looks a little like Lenny Kravitz and has about the same amount of talent. He's phenomenal.
Wow.
And they have a beautiful singer, sounds like Macy Gray.
Wow.
They have an amazing keyboard player, and the guy that sits in for him is probably one of the best rock keyboard players I've ever seen. Hmm. A drummer and a sax. So They're playing from 9 to 12. It's absolutely a blast, and it's just not the same old 80s music over and over. Can't speak highly enough about my friends in Upstart.
And you said this is one of your favorite bands.
It is.
One of your favorite local bands, right? And, you know, if by chance anybody who knows them is listening, would love to get them here in the studio. I know it's early morning Saturday, 8 a.m., but if we could get the lead singer and that Letty Kravitz. Do you know their names by chance? That's okay if you don't, but if we can get them in here, that'd be great. Would love to have them in here. All right, we're looking, but we don't have
our any. Lead singer is Michael Cartwright, and his backup is Adrian Gross, and they're both simply amazing.
Very nice. All right, do we have anything else?
No.
I have just a couple, though. You won't believe this, because you don't want to go to Upstart sober, so I'd recommend the Culinary Arts School is having a 1 o'clock afternoon wine tasting they do every week. They have some sommeliers over there. They bring in a wide amount of stuff. It's fabulous.
So why shouldn't you go sober? Does that say, like, the music? I mean, that sounds like you're putting the music and the quality into question.
No, it's just a nice little afternoon. Look at this beautiful day. By the way, our weather forecast provided to you by the Orange County Register. Today, high 73, low 51, inland 82, 48. Tomorrow the same, the next day the same, and then a lot more of the same. But, here we go. We'd also like to talk about, you know, wine is always a nice thing on a beautiful afternoon like this, sitting outside. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to take away from the music.
Okay.
But what goes well with music? What goes well with wine? Food.
Mm.
And we have just a couple of great new restaurants we wanted to bring to your attention.
Good.
First of all, hockey star Timu Solani of actually really the Mighty Ducks, who've been kicking ass lately, is partnering up and opened a restaurant here locally. It's where the old French 75 used to be.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's stunning. Their chef features regional cuisine.
Right.
Farm to table. It's absolutely extraordinary. Beautiful bar. Wonderful area. I strongly encourage you to check it out.
You're sort of a foodie.
I'm very much a foodie.
Yeah.
I've owned partial shares of many restaurants. Lost my ass on all of them. used to run restaurants, but know a lot about them. But there's two big ones in Fashion Island that folks might know about. Or if you don't, strongly recommend them. Now, it's where the old Coco's building used to be, if you know
remember.
Where that is.
Sure.
It is not in the Coco's building. They blew that up and started over.
Right.
And on either side, they built two world-class restaurants. The first opened was called Red O, and it's a restaurant with the name Rick Bayless on it. Rick Bayless is regarded as one of the top chefs in America. He has two restaurants, Topolobampo and Frontiera Grill in Chicago, and he won Top Chef, and it's truly amazing food. He has put his name on the restaurant and is the executive chef, but he doesn't run its daily operation.
Mm.
It's a stunning setting, great nightlife, very hopping. But my favorite is the one right next door, Fig and Olive. Fig and Olive, French chef. He was trained by a 3-star chef and opened his first restaurant in Manhattan a number of years ago, opened a second restaurant in Los Angeles, and this one just opened 2 months ago.
Wow.
Absolutely phenomenal food, very light fare, Mediterranean, heavy on fish, heavy a European wine list, beautiful ceiling, but they're always out of things. And when I asked why they were out, she said, Robert, we built this to be a restaurant, not a nightclub. If you want to see somewhere that looks like you're in New York or L.A.,
9
o'clock or 10 o'clock at night on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's the new happening place. It's
just a madhouse. And for the listeners, Robert was not doing that by reading any sort of menu or press release. I mean, that was off the top of your head, right?
I ate there twice this week.
Yeah, very nice. Well, maybe we reach out and bring some of these chefs in at some point into the show.
I think we're going to bring a number of good chefs in.
Yeah.
But if we can save the best for last.
Here we go. Last one.
Football.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow
really?
Is probably one of the greatest football days in history. You've got the two premier veteran quarterbacks, Brady and Manning, going head-to-head at noon in Denver. It's going to be an extraordinary game. Brady, of course, holding almost every record known to mankind, other than Manning beating his touchdown record this year and excelling at that. So that's going to be fantastic. And then the later game, you've got the new punks on the block. You've got two of the best young quarterbacks around, Wilson and Kaepernick. And that's at 3:30, and that's in Seattle.
Excellent.
So if you're a football fan, those are going to be two of the best games you'll probably ever see on Sunday.
That's a lot of information in 30 minutes, and I feel like we were running out of time already, if you can believe that. So here's what we do. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes in the studio with Robert Palmer, Megan Jamerson, April Johnson. This is Radio Caravan. And instead of breaking, let's kind of roll into sort of this concept of talking about the Who. Robert, this was sort of your idea to bring the Who to the first show. Where do you want to start on this?
Well, I'd like to walk you through a little bit of the history of the Who, and then maybe each of us could share as we go along the way our own favorite Who song and why it's important to us and why the band's important to us.
Walk quickly.
I will walk quickly, my friend.
Brisk pace.
Well, as everybody knows, The Who was an English rock band. They were formed in 1964. Their main lineup was Roger Daltrey on lead vocals, Pete Townsend on guitar, bassist John Entwistle, and drummer Keith Moon. Along the way, both Entwistle and Moon died of overdoses. Yeah. So they've had some new members in there, and we'll get to those. Most notably, Simon Phillips came in, played drums for them for a long time. He's now Toto's regular drummer.
Right.
Extraordinary, extraordinary drummer. So they started off when Pete Townsend was walking down the street and saw Entwistle walking along carrying a bass. He couldn't even afford a bass guitar case. He says, I hear you play bass. And Entwistle said he was shocked because he was such a bum carrying an old beat-up guitar.
Right.
And that's actually how they started.
Wow.
They later brought Keith Moon on board when they fired their last drummer. And then, of course, Pete Townsend came on board. And it was at one of their early shows where Pete Townsend accidentally smashed his guitar on the ceiling, was angered by it when the crowd laughed at him, proceeded to bash it to bits on stage and get a new car and continue. Guitar. Rolling Stone described that as one of the 50 moments that changed rock and roll history.
Which became his calling card in a lot of ways, that smashing that guitar in that windmill right hand of his guitar strumming arm, I guess.
Absolutely, and Keith Moon, not wanting to be left out, actually would kick his drums over at the end of the show, and you may recall they're on the Sullivan Brothers show one time, and he actually blew his drums up with a small amount of dynamite, which was greatly received very happily by the Smothers Brothers show, I'm sorry. By 66, they were regarded in the same league as a Jimi Hendrix and Cream, and had really come a long way.
Let me ask you, what was your first impression, what was your first memory of The Who?
My first and most important memory of The Who was I was in high school. I think I was about 14 years old, and in March of that year, Woodstock had just come out.
Right.
And my buddies and I bought a six-pack of beer in the middle of winter and hopped the fence at the drive-in theater, went to the front row, took the little drive-in speaker off the ground, right, put it on the ground, turned it on, sat in the snow, drank a six-pack, and watched Woodstock.
The movie.
The movie.
Right.
Freezing to death outside. And all of a sudden, I remember the song See Me, Feel Me came on. And it just literally defined for me just true rock power and greatness. And I'd like to play just a little of that for you now if you want to.
That sounds great.
Okay, and one of the great parts of that song is The Who didn't even want to play at Woodstock. They thought it was stupid. They were finally bribed with a massive upfront fee they were paid. You ready for this?
Yeah.
$13,000 for their performance.
What?
And they were promised the top spot Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Well, as you know, the show ran and ran and ran and ran, and they didn't get on until 5 the next morning. And then up comes a Yippie leader, Abbie Hoffman, giving a political speech. He was automatically pummeled by Pete Townsend and thrown off the stage. And when they played See Me, Feel Me, the sun was just rising, and John Entwistle later said, God was our light man that day.
You know, what's interesting is I did go to the movies to see Woodstock with my older brother. We were upstairs at a theater, a little tiny theater. I think it was Balboa. And I do remember this song. I do remember this performance. And I remember more specifically Roger Daltrey. He had that fringe jacket on.
Yeah.
And he took that microphone with a cord and he was whipping it around. And I just thought, what a great performer this guy was.
And he still does that to this day.
And
I just saw him a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, you know, we interviewed him for the Friendship Show here a couple of months back. And I said, you know, what is it you think has sustained The Who all these years? And he said simply that it was the writing, Pete Townsend's writing.
Wow.
That it was the songwriting that really compelled that group beyond the stratosphere, you know.
Amazing. Well, let's get to your favorite song, which comes off the absolutely legendary album Tommy, which was one of the first rock operas in history.
Right.
And it really broke a lot of bridges about a deaf, dumb, and blind boy who could sure play a mean pinball. So let's hear about your song.
Oh, it's Pinball Wizard. This is, you know, done by Elton John. And what I remember of the film was specifically this song, Elton John at the pinball machine, Roger Daltrey at the other pinball machine, and Elton John's got these really big boots on. And this is Elton John's version of Pinball Wizard. By the way, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. This is Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes with my co-host, Robert Palmer. And that was Pinball Wizard, done by Elton John, written, of course, by Peter Townsend, I believe. Yeah.
Indeed.
And what do you think the themes were in Tommy, by the way? What do you think the concepts were of Tommy? What do you think that album or that rock opera music video was all about? Any thoughts?
Still mystifies me to this day. Obviously, yeah. The magical powers of a severely handicapped kid who was not really appreciated but could do amazing things.
Yeah, exactly. And the abuse, the emotional and physical abuse that he received. I mean, what a powerful, powerful album, really.
Indeed. Well, now they power on to 1971 with one of their biggest albums ever. Reached number one in the UK. Who's Next? Fabulous album. I had hits like We Won't Get Fooled Again on it, and most importantly, Megan's favorite song, Joined Together. Megan, tell us about your song.
Yeah, I picked this one. I had first heard about The Who in college. I took a history of rock and roll class.
Oh, how fun.
Which sort of opened my eyes to music and all the different genres and everything, because I had probably terrible taste in music before then. We just won't go into detail.
Oh,
but,
how fun is that?
What
made you think you had terrible taste in music?
Well, I think that I didn't have a varied...
A very broad,
you know, and I didn't know a lot of history.
Gotcha.
And I think having the history makes me appreciate modern music even more. So I picked this one. Because I like, there's a couple lines of music where they're saying, like, do you really think I care what you read or what you wear? I just want you to join together with the band. So I like this idea of community and lots of people with different backgrounds coming together to be, you know, it's a positive message.
I like the idea that you actually focused on the lyrics, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So
lyrics
cool.
are important.
I
mean,
agree.
Melody is one thing, but
yeah,
I think.
Totally agree.
So this is, here's the song.
Thank you.
All right, well, the band continued to succeed, but Townsend was completely burned out and didn't want to do it anymore, so they stopped touring or recording for a while. 85, they came back and were the stars of Bob Geldof's Light Ave concert at Wembley, and then they did a 25th anniversary tour, 1989. 1990, they were finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is fantastic.
Let me back up. The Bob Geldof Live Aid Tour? Do you remember that song?
The one-time show, yeah.
Do you remember the song they did? The Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? I can't get through a holiday season without hearing that song. I love that song. And by the way, I'm going to show my gleekness here. I watched that show Glee, if anybody watches that show.
I love Glee.
I love it, too. And they did a great version of that about 2 years ago. So if anybody's out there wants to YouTube that song, see the Glee version of that.
Long live Corey.
Yeah.
Let's talk about their influence, what people have said for them over the years. Of course, they came up with the power chord, the windmill strum, the Marshall stack, and, of course, destroying their equipment beyond recognition on stage. Bono said of them, more than any other band in the world, the Who were my role models. Brian May of Queen said, they were my inspiration. I think my favorite comes from Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam, who said, the one thing that disgusts me the most about the Who is the way they smashed through every single door in the uncharted hallway of rock and roll, leaving virtually nothing for the rest of us to do. Jack Black declared them the greatest band of all time. Rolling Stone says, along with the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, they are the holy trinity of music. Well, there's one more song we'd like to play that Megan says reminds her of this. It's a Green Day tune. Megan, let's hear your favorite song that reminds you of our friends and why.
All right. Well, I was a big fan of Green Day kind of in middle school, high school, and I picked Minority. It was from one of their later albums. And I think, you know, I guess their biggest influence is the whole power chord thing. So here's part of this song. Welcome back to the Friendship Show. Or not the Friendship Show. Radio Caravan.
Hey,
oh,
hey,
no.
What's going on with that, Megan? Come on now.
I'm on automatic here.
Hey, but we're calling a friend.
We are.
Calling an amazing woman who is a little bit short of stature. And what I love about Vivian is every time she speaks, she normally stands on a soapbox just to reach over. But this woman is just a human dynamo. Vivian Klieg, like years ago, had the idea of providing shelter and training and care for women in need who were battered or otherwise down and out. And she started here right on her own Laguna Beach and grew the program over the years into Human Options. It's one of the finest charities in Orange County. They're based out of Irvine, and they also have other facilities throughout the county. And what's unique about them, and I'll let her tell you this because I've had the pleasure of working with them, and I'm on the board of United Way, and we're a big supporter of Vivian's work, is they not only provide care in need, but more importantly, training, psychological training, how to get over and not repeat the habit. The devastation on their children and how to help their children through it. And then they generally have some of their success stories come up and talk to us at their dinners. And it's truly motivational, far beyond anything I could do. She's greeting us today from sunny Hawaii. Aloha, Vivian. Are you there?
Aloha. Thank you for saying those kind things about Human Options.
Thank you. Robert Palmer's a huge fan of yours, as you know. I'm going to have my partner, Scott, ask a few questions. And thank you and welcome aboard, Vivian.
Well, we can all pitch in here, Vivian. And thanks for calling so early. What time is it there, by the way?
It is 10 minutes to 7.
Oh, okay, not too bad then. I guess not too bad.
No!
That's Robert's sound effects. You know, one of the things we're attempting to do on our show, last 10 or 15 minutes of each show, is sort of reach out and highlight or spotlight a particular charity. And you were kind enough to agree to do this morning, and so we appreciate it. One of the questions I think people might like to know is sort of how you got inspired years ago to form this organization called Human Options.
Well, thank you for asking. All my life, I've wanted to be somebody who made a difference to help others. And I'm a social worker. I was the director of the Orange County Department of Mental Health in Laguna Beach, and we were educating our mental health advisory board about social issues in 1979. And we began studying the issue of domestic violence. One out of four women is a victim of domestic violence. But we don't know that, because domestic violence is the one crime where the victim is more ashamed than the perpetrator, so nobody talks about it. It's hidden. When we began to study it and we began to talk to the women who were clients at the Department of Mental Health, we found out two important things: that it can happen to anybody, and there doesn't have to be something, quote, wrong with the victim, but she is ashamed, and so she keeps it hidden. And two, that the children are deeply impacted by this. And so three of us, the president of our mental health advisory board, Carolyn Sherm, and one of our members, Margaret Thoreau, and I made a pledge to ourselves and to our community that we would make a difference. And 2 years later, we were joined by a fourth woman, Anne Wright, and the four of us committed that I would spend 1 year working half-time to raise the funds to open a shelter. And exactly 1 year after I started that pledge, we opened what we called the Battered Women's Shelter of South Orange County in Laguna Beach, October the 18th, 1982.
Wow. That's
and from the beginning, we were full.
That's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story. So I'm sure a lot of people know about Human Options. For the listeners who may not, what sort of services does the organization provide in terms of its clients? Crisis intervention?
Human Options. Right. We provide safety, healing, and a way forward. Safety begins when a woman calls the hotline. We say you are a victim before you call. Once you call, a survivor, and once you enter our programs, you are a winner. People can come to our 45-day emergency shelter, where a woman and her children receive incredible holistic wraparound services. We work with intensive counseling to identify the trauma and provide skills and resources and healing for the woman and the child. And then we work with the woman to provide a way forward. Many of our women have never worked before. They need counseling for work. They need schooling. They also need a safe and affordable housing place to live. And many need legal advocacy. One of the things we're doing right now is growing our legal advocacy. And Gibson & Dunn is one of our partners. We want attorneys who will come and provide free counseling, and some who will take a case and work with our clients for everything from a temporary restraining order to child custody and divorce and long-term issues. Yeah. We work with our clients once they leave the shelter. We provide follow-up. We also have second-step transitional housing, which is 1 year of intensive counseling and a way forward, training and opportunities to go to work, to get a job, to support your family, and to find decent, affordable housing. We also have Third Step, which is a 2 to 3 year program for women who are already working. And we have 5 counseling center locations. And we're the only program in Southern California that has an incredibly intense, individualized program for seniors. Seniors who are victims of intimate partner abuse,
right,
or domestic violence, or abused by adult children. And to top it off, we are in the business of prevention. If we don't do prevention, if we don't change attitudes and values and behaviors, we'll always need shelters. So we work with about 15,000 youth a year, teaching them the values and the skills to stop date violence before it becomes abusive.
And Vivian, I love the way you always protect your own little flock. For those of you that don't know, if you ever want to try and find out where their office buildings are, you'll have to meet Vivian in the parking lot of a Trading Joe's,
right,
be blindfolded, sworn to secrecy, slightly drugged up, put in the back of a 62 Chevy, driven around 6 times in donuts, and then she'll drop you off at the front door.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that, right?
Many an angry husband has tried to find his wife. They follow them, they do this, that, and the other. But they've taken great security, and I don't think you've ever had a breach, and the police are constantly on standby, and they know if that phone rings, they've got somebody there. Protecting her flock is at the top of her list.
We have wonderful partners. The police are partners. The courts are our partners. Many, many social service agencies are our partners, and many, many community groups, corporations, foundations work with us together. We are all partners, and that is the biggest issue. The issue of hiding our location is challenging because, on the one hand, we need people to know about us. public relations and marketing is important to build partnerships, but we need people not to know where we are.
Right.
So it's a double issue. We must hide, but we must project our mission.
Let me ask you, Vivian, for the listeners, if there are people out there who want to support your organization, if they want to reach out, if they want to donate clothes, if they want to donate money, how do you suggest they go about doing that? What's the most convenient, efficient way for people to reach out and help?
Our website is humanoptions.org, and you can call me at 949-737-5242, extension 222. Years ago, when we did a strategic planning process using the Peter Drucker method, we reached out to 45 major donors and talked to, did surveys of 180 people in our community, and I was dubbed the walking billboard. So it is my pleasure to meet people, to share our story. Human Options has a very strong team. Our chief development officer, Darla Olson, our managing fund development manager, Nora Caldwell, and our chief operating officer, Maricela Rio Strauss, and I are also out in the community a lot, as well as Carla Thornton, our coordinator, and our wonderful board of directors.
Well, it turns out, Vivian, I think we actually have a caller on who'd like to donate a little money here. Do you mind if we take her call real quick?
Oh, you're kidding. That would be wonderful.
KX93.5, Radio Caravan. Oh. Who's there?
Hi, my name is Rebecca, and I'd like to call and donate.
That's fantastic. How much would you be willing to donate to this wonderful group today, Rebecca?
Well, I'm sorry it's not a lot, but I just have to say I'm so impressed with what she's doing. I work a lot with people who are abused, and I admire her large work. So while it's a small donation, it's done with lots of appreciation. I'd like to donate $25.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you. Let's hope that you start a landslide with that. And I'll tell you that on behalf of our show, we also would like to donate. Scott and I are in for $100, Vivian, so you're up $125 so far, and hopefully with more to come.
Wow, that's beautiful. But unfortunately, I believe we may have lost Vivian on the phone and taken that second call. Megan, is that correct? Okay, Vivian, if you're listening, thank you so much for calling in. We apologize for hanging up on you. It was unintended, but I don't know if we can even take one or two phone calls at the same time, but we'll work on that for next time.
This is a very high-tech studio we have here.
Yeah, beautiful. I just don't know whether we got the technology down yet. So, all right, so, Robert, what do you think? First day, 8 to 9, Laguna Beach, you think they're going to be receptive to the show, or you think they're going to poo-poo it?
Well, I see about 3,000 people outside cheering, and they have way to go signs and awesome, and there must be some other event going on behind us. But
yeah,
I hope people enjoy this. We're going to try and make it an interesting journey each week for all of our friends.
Yeah. We're going to try to reach out to local politicians, local chefs, restaurateurs, musicians, anyone we can really, you know, bring into the studio. And it'll be a challenge over the next 6 months, but I think we can probably reach some people that might be of interest to Laguna Beach people. Yeah.
I hope so, and I think so, and I hope all of our friends out there enjoyed the show today.
Yep. Megan, do you have something you want to say? Oh.
No. I've had a fun time this hour.
Yeah, beautiful.
Excellent hipstering over there, by the way, I might add.
Okay, well, this is KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. This is the news show, Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes.
And I'm Robert Palmer.
And I'm Megan Jamerson.
There she is.
And we'd like to take you out with one of my favorite new bands. It's a band called Parachute. They're of Australia. They're a bunch of young kids, but boy, can they kick it. Let's hear On the Way Out with Parachute.
Okay,
good morning.
KX93.5 FM.
You wake up every morning looking for your answer. You're waiting for your sign. While Jeremiah's on his way to tell the people, but you watch him pass you by.